on, you know, the fatherhood of God. And you know, when we think of a father, we and what we started talking about yesterday is that when we think of the fatherhood of God, we are thinking of the source and the origin. And one of the things that we looked at yesterday, you know, was a conversation of Jesus and the Pharisees. And when they were asking him that, you know, when he told them that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And they say that, oh, no, we are Abraham's seed. We have never been in bondage. And how can you say that we shall be made free? And he told them, yes, you are slaves of sin. And when you come to the side of truth, then you shall do what truth does. You are of your father, the devil, and who has been a liar, who has been sinning from the beginning. And when he lies, he speaks his mother tongue. And all those things. And Jesus told them that I proceed forth from my father. That means my source, my origin is I come from the Father. I remember when we read John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God's origin, or rather the origin of Christ, Jesus Christ on the earth, is that he came from the Father. But we also concluded it by saying that it was the actions of the Pharisees that disqualified them from actually being called Abraham's children, because he was they were told, but Abraham did not kill anyone. So though, and yet you want to kill me. So the origin, the source of where we come from, where we draw our lineage from, is what determines what line we align to the fatherhood that we have. So we can either be children of God or children of the devil, and that means we in our actions, our proceeding comes from that. But one of the things that I want us to reflect on today is the image. The image, and that proceeds from the fatherhood. And what do I mean by that? When you think of a child, and when you think of the father or the mother, there's something always about that child that can identify that this child is a split image or a replica or has certain characteristics that flow from the father. You know, like when I look at my daughter, I just smile because I see myself. You know, I see the walking style, I see the body shape, I see everything, and I see the character, I see the behavior, and I'm like, oh, this one is just me. And this is something that is not just seen by you, by the parent, but is also seen by others. And you see when people ref I mean, like when a child is lost, and I remember a point when we were growing up when my brother got lost, there's just someone who said, no, I know this head. I know where this I know where this child belongs to. The child was brought, and he was brought directly to where we were, to where we were staying, but because of his image. So when we speak of the image, we speak of the picture, or when we speak of the shape, we speak of, you know, the identity, the character, the every aspect, you know, that flows in the genes, the genealogy, you understand? So when we see of that, we say that image is usually a reflection of the fatherhood and the, you know, the origin. So when you're speaking of the fatherhood of God, and man is made in the image and likeness of God. And maybe just before we get to Genesis 1:26, where God made man, I want us to look at this conversation again of Jesus with the Pharisees. And when we look at Matthew chapter 22, from verse 15, Matthew 22, from verse 15, it says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest for thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. Verse 17, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Verse 18, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose image and superscription? Whose is this image and superscription? Verse 21, they said unto him, Caesar's. Then he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled, and they left him, and they went their way. So when we think of money, and when you think of this, what was happening, at this time, the Romans, the Israelites were under the Roman rule, and they were, you know, they were controlled by the Romans. They had to pay taxes to Caesar, and Caesar was the administrative ruler that had been installed by the Roman Empire over his protectorate over Israel, and thus there was certain amount of tax that they needed to pay. And the law stipulated that they needed to pay this tax. Now, anyone who did not advocate for paying of this tax would be punished by law, or rather, you can be accused that you're causing disharmony, you're causing havoc. And this was a situation that they wanted to tempt Jesus with. And so they asked him, is it lawful to give taxes to Caesar? Should we pay tribute to Caesar? I mean, considering if he says yes, you know, it was a catch situation. 22, if he says yes, then that means that he is supporting the Romans. So the Israelites will not be happy with him, and they will wonder, are you really the Messiah who's coming to deliver us from Caesar's rule? And if he says no, then they can accuse him to Caesar and say this person is causing commotion. But you see, Jesus points us to something that happened in the beginning. And he asks them, whose image is this? And when we think of man, you must ask yourself, whose image is man? Whose image is man? And he says unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. Now, that tells us that man, he was telling them that money belongs to Caesar. This money belongs to Caesar. This money has the inscription, the superscription. It has the image of Caesar. How about you as a human being? You have the image of God. Now, that means that in the beginning, when God made Adam, when God made man, the original image, the original reflection, or the original creation of man is in the image of God. And that takes us to Genesis 1, 26, and we can see that when the Bible says that therefore, Genesis 1, verse 26. Yeah, so the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And, this is an and, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat, it shall be for your food. And and he continues that. So what we see here is that God's making of man, he made him in the image of God, in God's image. So every human being that we meet, every human being that we see created, every human being that exists on the earth was made after the image, was made after the image of God. And that is why we must honor all men. We must treat all men equally. We must consider that human beings are valuable. And so, if we think of a coin, the coin of your country maybe has the image of your president. Likewise, every human being has the image, has the stamp, has the origin, has the foundation, has the starting point in God, and made in the image and likeness of God. And you see, everything else was an addition to this image. The starting point of man is that he is the image and likeness of God. That is God's original intention, to make a being, to make a creature, to make, whether we call ourselves creatures or whether to call ourselves beings, to make someone or to make man that looks like him. You can imagine of all the beauty of the world, of the beauty of the angels, of the beauty of creation, of the beauty of heaven and earth, of all the creatures that were made, of everything in heaven and on the earth, everything that was made, none of them was made in the image of God. Angels are not made in the image of God. In all their beauty, in all their splendor, they were not made in the image of God. It is only man, this feeble man that you see, this man that you see covered in clay. God hid his essence. God hid his image in man. And he gave them the dominion. He gave them the earth. He gave them ability. He gave them, food. He gave them the plants for food. He gave them rulership over everything that God created. So God wanted a replication of himself in man. Now, that tells us that anyone who has the anyone who has maybe lost the image, or the image of God that has been distorted in sin, the Bible says, for all have fallen short, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin distorts that image of God. Sin takes away that place that God gave us in him. Even though we hold the identity, it's just like a coin. If you imagine if a coin, you go and throw it in the mud, and you paint it, and you do whatever it is, it still retains its original character, its original image. It may be dirty, it may be muddy, it might be covered in rust and all that, but as long as it is a coin, if you take it back to your central bank, it can be taken back and cleaned. Now, every human being is made in the image and likeness of God. Sin, yes, has come to make us dirty. It has marred us, it has turned us, it has rusted us and all that. But remember what Jesus said, render to God, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. That means that the coins go back to the person who have their inscription and should be given to the person who have their inscription. Likewise, every human being must go back to the image, must go back to the person who God that created them. Every human being must be given back to God. So anyone that comes to God, anyone that comes by faith, believing in Christ, is restored back to the original image of God. Now, there's a difference between the image Adam and Christ. So I want you to be aware of that. We are not restored to the dominion of Adam. Remember, Adam was made a living soul. Now, that means that Adam had the dominion from his soul level. Remember, man has his body, has his soul, and has his spirit. Now, Christ is the last Adam, or is the second Adam. So when we come to Christ, we are no longer made in the image of Adam, but we are transformed to the image of Christ. I want that to settle in that, and remember, Christ is a life-giving spirit. And maybe we can just quickly jump to that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, and we can jump to that, and so that we can just look at a few things there. Maybe verse 45, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, and it says, "And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." This quickening here means life-giving. Was made a life-giving spirit. Verse 46, "Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit corruption." So when we are come to Christ, when we come to our belief in Christ Jesus by faith, we are no longer restored to the image of Adam, who was the first Adam, who was a living soul, but we are translated to the image of Christ. We are being transformed into the heavenly image. Adam was of the earth, but Christ is the Lord from heaven. Christ is heavenly. So we are transformed into the image of Christ, into the image of the Lord from heaven. Now remember, when you say we are born again, the word there, born again, means we are born from above. That means we are born from heaven. We are not of the earth. The man in us, the spirit man in us, is born of God and is born in the image of God. So each time we must always remember that in us as believers, we have the spiritual man. We have the spirit man in us that is born again, born from above, born from heaven, and is born after and bears the image of Christ, bears the image of God. That means we cannot be normal. We cannot be like any other earthly or any other earthy human being, because the earthy human beings are made after Adam, who is a living soul. But us, we don't live from our souls, we don't live from our emotions, we don't live from our intellect, but we live from the life-giving Spirit of Christ in us that comes by faith. And that life-giving Spirit that lives in us is the Spirit of Christ, is the one that is in union with our spirits and makes us and gives birth to us and makes us in the image and likeness of God. The image and likeness of the man from above is in the believer and is of the believer. And this is the image of Christ that we have, and that when we are born again, we have the DNA, we have the character, we have the inscription, we have the mark that we are born of God. Now, someone will say that, oh, but why do I still see certain things in us? Now, that is because we have two in us. We have our spiritual man and we have the natural man. We have our members that are on the earth. That's why if you read Colossians 3, I think it's verse 3, it says, therefore mortify, put to death your members that are on the earth. That means that we have still this part of us that is on the earth that we have a responsibility to kill. We have a responsibility to put to death. Because it has lost its power. Sin has lost its power over the spiritual man, over the born again. It is only what we let the devil have, the foothold that we give him. That's why the Bible says, do not give a place to the devil. It is only the part that we give him that we allow him authority over. But the man that is born from heaven bears the image of the Lord from heaven, bears the image of Christ, bears the image of the heavenly, and it is that image that will inherit the kingdom of God. I love the way it says the last Adam. That means there is no other salvation, there is no other creation that God is making. God completed it in Christ, and everyone that puts their faith in Christ receives that quickening and that life-giving Spirit. And we receive the image of Christ. And that's what the Bible says, as we behold him, as we look unto him, as we, you know, as we look at the law of God, as we reflect, we are being transformed into an ever-increasing glory, into that very image. Think of this, we are already made in the image. It is done, because to God, he does one thing completely. It's just like the child is born in the image of the parent. But as a child grows, they grow more and more into that image. So we have still the growth that we are growing into. Not that we are growing to be, but we are growing because we already are. That is the difference. So we are already made in the image of God. We are made in the image of the Lord from heaven. But we grow into it. We grow into it from it. I hope I make sense. Let me stop there. Our time is gone. My brother, you're welcome. Hallelujah.
Thank you for that. Sorry, I'll not be able to add anything.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks. Maybe I'll have to listen to this again.
Devil is a liar. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Oh God, you are in pain, and you are pained when men lose their lives. Just, and this is a result of the sin that came on the earth, because creation is groaning for this manifestation. and for the revelation of the sons of God. And Father, we thank you for this family that has lost a loved one, and for those that have lost a loved one through this landslide and through these challenges in the weather. Oh God, we plead your mercy. Oh God, may you have mercy on this people, have mercy on this nation, have mercy on us, oh God, that, Lord, we may be protected, that there may be no senseless loss of life, oh God. Give us the wisdom to know what to do as leaders. Give us the wisdom to know what to act, and even give the families the wisdom to know what to do in whatever situation. And we pray even that you sustain and you protect despite the rain, despite the challenges, and that, Lord, you preserve this people, that they may know you, and that, Lord, you are in control and that you are in charge. I pray for grace even as the team runs into to provide support, and that, Lord God, you may show your mercy, your faithfulness, and your grace. Even the things that we do, that you give us the grace and the wisdom. Thank you for our family members. Be with them, them that are unwell. I pray for healing, and even anyone that is listening, anyone that wants to know you as Christ, the Lord and Savior, I pray that your hand and your power shall touch them. Even as we go ahead of us, keep us and sustain us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.